Welcome to Trailblazers, where we explore the inspiring journeys of entrepreneurs and industry leaders who are redefining success and making a lasting impact. These game changers are driving progress in our region and around the world. I'm Melody Bradford, your host. Welcome to Trailblazers. I'm Melody Bradford. Today, I'm sitting down with a leader who is shaping the Lehigh Valley through vision, discipline, and bold action. He's a leader whose journey spans military service, global corporate leadership, entrepreneurship, and now the presidency of one of the region's most respected engineering and consulting firms. Andrew Lawler is the president of Barry Eisen and Associates. His path includes service in the U.S. military, leadership roles at Lutron Electronics, Westside Hammer, and deep engagement in community initiatives across the Lehigh Valley. Today, we're talking about leadership forged through service, growth through challenge, and what it means to build both business and community with intention. Andrew, welcome to Trailblazers.
Thank you for having me.
So, Andrew, before we get into titles and roles, who was Andrew Lawler at the core? What early influences shaped your work ethic and leadership style?
So I appreciate starting there at the beginning. I'm just a kid from southeastern Pennsylvania who believes in the power of teams, and I had the opportunity throughout my childhood to be part of a lot of sports programs, a lot of early leadership opportunities through school and on sports teams, and in many ways, those types of things led me on the course that I've been on for the last 30-plus years now, starting with the military and then through various roles on the corporate side.
Mm-hmm. And that foundation really shows up in how you lead today. You served in the U.S. military. What initially led you to serve, and how did that experience shape you personally?
So the military, I grew up in the Top Gun generation. saw myself flying off the back of aircraft carriers.
A little maverick in me,
that type of thing. Certainly grew up thinking that that was cool. My father was in the Army for a few years after he graduated from Lafayette. But I didn't really have any strong military influences in my family at that time, other than this knowledge of past history of my dad. I learned that my grandfather had served in the Navy during World War II as well. But it was actually a coach. It was one of my basketball coaches who said, you display a lot of leadership, a lot of poise, organizational skills, those types of things. In many ways, like mission driven, which is a mindset that certainly comes out of the military experience. And he steered me to go consider one of the service academies for college. And so I started looking into that. And I was fortunate to find my way into the Naval Academy post high school. And I really haven't looked back. Interestingly, one of the reasons that I ended up in the Marine Corps, though, when I went in thinking I was going to be a maverick in the Navy, was through my experiences at the Naval Academy and just the interactions I had with the Marines that were there, what they stood for, their ethos, the spirit that they kind of all carried with them. Mm-hmm. It was very, very attractive to me at the time.
And, you know, before we went on air, I'm going to mention this. I'm having the discussion with my 16-year-old now about colleges because, you know, he'll be a junior next year, and we'll start the selection process. And we're talking about different avenues that he can take, everything from trade schools to military service, colleges, and everything in between. And we talked a little bit about military service, and he says to me, he goes, Mom, he goes, I said to him, I says, you know, maybe you should consider the Air Force or talking about the various branches. And he says, I want to be a Navy SEAL if I'm going to get into the military. And I said, wow, because that's probably, you know, it's a very intense training I've been led to believe anyway.
Right.
But you mentioned something about a book done by a Navy SEAL. Talk to me a little bit about that and from a leadership perspective, you know, what that advice is.
Yeah, I have a lot of stories that I could share from the time in the military. But it was a few Christmases ago that I was actually looking for a book that I could give to one of my godsons. And so I came across this 3-pack of books written by Admiral McRaven. And the first of those that's famous because of a commencement speech that he gave at the University of Texas is called Make Your Bed. And so Admiral McRaven, in a very succinct way, summarizes kind of the challenges of leadership, but what individuals can do each and every day to quite literally change the world. And so he starts off with lesson number one is If you want to change the world, make your bed. Start the day with a task completed, and then that puts you in the groove of completing more and more things throughout the day. But I have taken that book. I participate in a lot of different community things. I know we'll talk a little bit about some of those things today. But one of the things that I'm very, very proud of is my service with the Veteran and Military Council with the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce. That book resonated so much with me after I read it that I went out and bought 50 of them.
Wow.
And I have four left, but I've given them out to lots and lots of people, including the entire board of the Veteran and Military Council, just because that message that it shares
it's
about
the
ability of one person
to
make decisions that fundamentally can change the world with little actions too. It's not big, it's not grand things. You're not standing on top of a mountain. It's doing little things right day in and day out.
Consistent.
Being consistent, being purposeful, being intentional about it as well. And so I've given that book out to a lot of folks, including a number of our own employees now at Barry Isett and Associates, in one-on-one conversations. And I can see when they're maybe facing a challenge, and I'll open it up and I'll circle a chapter. I'll say, read chapter 7 in this book, right? And my ask is simple on that book as well. I tell everybody that I've ever handed that book to, I said, if this resonates in any way, shape, or form with you, just write your name on the inside cover and go give it to somebody else. And share that message with them as well.
And the Admiral was a Navy SEAL.
He was a Navy SEAL, yes.
Interesting. So sage advice for aspiring leaders, including Mike Caleb.
Yes, I highly recommend the book.
As your responsibilities evolved during your service, what did you learn about leadership under pressure in the military?
I learned a lot during my time in the Marine Corps, for sure.
Marine Corps can be tough as well. Yeah. I mean, I'm not rating services, but you know, Marine can be intense as well from what I understand.
Yeah. And it's somewhat ironic that we just talked about Make Your Bed in that book. But one of the chapters is, be your very best in the darkest of moments. That's so when you talk about pressure, and leadership opportunities, when the pressure's on, that's when leaders really step to the plate. Mm-hmm. I think, there's a poise, there's certain poise, there's a calmness that needs to come over you. Be intentional about your actions. And so it appears throughout the business community, though, as well, right? When tensions are high, when things aren't going well, folks are looking for people who are calm. Folks are looking for people who can say, take a breath. Mm-hmm. We got this. Let's think through this. Mm-hmm. Let's make a decision. Let's move forward, right? I talk a lot in business about one of the worst places we can be in business is what I refer to as the swirl, and that's we're stuck in one place. And we might be able to go forward, we might be able to go left or right or backwards, and sometimes people get stuck in this, I don't know what to do, I don't know which way to go, and we swirl. We just spin around in a circle, but we're never moving forward.
Right.
And so leadership under pressure ultimately is about making a decision. Right. And so I also talk a lot about two fundamental roles of a leader, and that is accomplishing the mission and taking care of the people. So when the pressure steps up, you have to understand what is the mission? Where are we trying to go? What are our values? What's our purpose? What's our mission? What's our vision? Where are we heading in the big picture thing? Let's take a breath. Let's make a decision. We'll move forward. Might not be the right decision. We might learn something, and then we'll make another correction from there. We'll make another decision. And so as long as we continue to move forward, business and life and the military, even when the pressure's on, I think that's where leadership really steps up.
Defining moments, yeah. You later held leadership roles at Lutron Electronics, which is a global company here in the Lehigh Valley.
Right.
How did transitioning from the military into a global corporate environment stretch you?
It was quite an interesting transition for me. I had come out of college. My formative years were in the military, in this system, very organized, very structured, very disciplined. And I distinctly remember a few months into my career at Lutron, thinking to myself, man, I'm struggling to understand how to motivate people the same way I used to be able to in the Marine Corps. So everybody in the Marine Corps starts at a common level. We all have a common identity as Marines, and that means something. And so you could quite literally motivate a Marine by saying, grabbing them by the collar every now and again, or saying, gosh darn it, you're a Marine. Right? And that resonated. It was like, whoa, a wake-up call. And I remember thinking, I can't do that here at Lutron. Right?
That might not be okay with HR.
So it opened up my eyes to this idea of leadership by influence and like really finding the connection point that you could have in common,
mm-hmm.
even if it wasn't, you're a Marine, what are the things we do have in common, right? And that's a very personal relationship, mm-hmm. one-on-one. So it got me out of the stereotype and assuming and working really hard at developing one-on-one relationships with people.
Mm-hmm. You were also involved after Lutron with Westside Hammer Electric, which is a very different kind of culture, everything. What did that role teach you? Talk to me a little bit about that.
It's interesting. And
that was a family-owned company.
Right. Private, family-owned, mm-hmm. smaller, certainly smaller than Lutron. Lutron's private as well and family-owned, but
yeah.
much larger global organization.
Right.
And I used to describe my own career as one of shrinking geography. And so in the Marine Corps, I operated globally. At Lutron, I operated nationally. There was a stop between Lutron and Westside Hammer. I worked with a company that was headquartered in Ohio, but I ran a separate business unit for us focused on the Marcellus Shale region, so we were regional.
Was that an entrepreneurial venture?
In many ways it was,
okay.
Yes. But then I had known Luke Cunningham through some of the programs that I ran at Lutron for a number of years.
Owner of Westside Hammer.
Owner of Westside Hammer, yes, yeah. Thank you. Luke became a close mentor of mine, and we kept in touch. And one day he called me up and he said, you know, he was looking for a succession plan and somebody to kind of step in and act as a bridge for the family business. And so Luke and I worked very closely together for a number of years until he unfortunately became very sick. But that work at Westside Hammer was really local, and I really loved everything about being hyper-local, really entrenched in the community,
mm-hmm.
being able to drive down the streets and tell my own children, you know, we're involved with that project, we're building this, we're building that. There was something very, very rewarding about that. But the small family-run business aspect of it was an education in and of itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The teams, I imagine there might have been some parallels, but also some differences as well.
Yes.
What made you say yes to becoming president of Barry Isaacson & Associates? Because once you left Westside Hammer, you went with Barry Isaacson & Associates. Why was it the right time to move at this point in your career?
Yeah, it's interesting. So things didn't wrap up. You know, every one of us experiences challenging times throughout their career. And my transition from Westside Hammer to Barry Isaacson & Associates was a challenging time for me. I'm a big believer in being on the road that you're meant to be on. My wife and I have a sign on our bathroom wall that says, your journey's unfolding exactly as it should be. And so while things were not developing the way that I saw them taking shape with Westside Hammer at the time, and I'm quite certain that three angels came into my life at the right time, and they steered me down this path. And a close friend of mine connected me with Kevin Campbell, who's the CEO of Barry Isaacson Associates, mm-hmm. and we started talking, and it just made so much sense in so many ways. It's a blend of the engineering background that I have,
mm-hmm.
the high technology construction area from Lutron Electronics, from Westside Hammer, and what I found is that the people there and the mission and the disciplines that we provide to our clients, it's been so rewarding to try to learn more about that and the broad base of services that we can offer to them as well.
And for the edification of our listeners, share with us a little bit about what Barry Isaacson & Associates does and how multifaceted the team is there, because you guys have
right.
one heck of an operation, and I think it's actually, it goes beyond the Lehigh Valley, does it not?
Oh,
yeah,
very much so, yes.
Yeah.
So Barry Isaacson & Associates, we are at the heart, we are a multidisciplined firm, engineers and consultants. So
okay.
for the built environment, we do pretty much everything short of architecture.
Mm-hmm.
So we organize ourselves across three different divisions. So we have a traditional design division, which is comprised of civil land development, so civil engineers. We have mechanical engineers, electrical engineers, structural engineers. We have folks who are working a lot with the architectural community on the design and the implementation of different buildings.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a field division. So these folks look a lot more like contractors almost every day
mm-hmm.
of the week. Like we're in high vis, we're in hard hats, they're out there digging in the dirt. So we have a lot of geologists, environmental scientists, surveyors, We have forensics engineers in that group. And then we have a whole other department that we call construction quality assurance as well. And so these are folks who are testing materials on job sites or on project locations throughout the eastern half of the state of Pennsylvania. And we still have a third division that's a public division where we provide code services, so plan reviews or construction-related inspections of any type of property to make sure that things are built safely. We have landscape architecture services as well to beautify parks and those types of facilities around different communities. And then rounding it out, we have a municipal engineering team.
Any notable projects within the Lehigh Valley that listeners would recognize?
Yeah, we've been involved with a number of the name brands across the Lehigh Valley for decades, literally for decades. Our very first opportunity was with DeSales University, and we've stayed close with DeSales for decades at this stage. We're deeply involved with the Allentown School District. Mm-hmm. We've done a number of projects with ArtsQuest. We've been involved with Parkland School District and Lehigh Carbon Community College and Northampton Community College. And so the list of clients from across the valley is very wide and very deep and very diverse in terms of the industries that we've impacted as well.
Yeah, and I invite listeners to take a look at the website to see some of the beautiful projects. In the research for this podcast, I was like, oh my gosh, some of this stuff is just gorgeous. You know, you guys have changed the landscape, really.
Right, and you asked a moment ago, and I failed to really directly answer it, but we are much more than the Lehigh Valley now as well. So in addition mm-hmm. to those divisions that I was referring to, we have four different regions. So we have 12 offices across the eastern half of the state of Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So the Lehigh Valley is our headquarters, and then we have a northeast region, which is above us, a southeast region, which is below us, and a central region, which is to the west of us.
But, interesting. Yes. Wow. In the research for the podcast, I pulled this directly from your website with regards to leadership development programs that you do within the firm. Leadership isn't a title. It's a skill, and we invest in building at every level. ISIT's leadership development programs are designed to prepare our associates to lead with confidence, self-awareness, and purpose long before they step into formal leadership roles. Through interactive learning, real-world scenarios, and a strong focus on communication, emotional intelligence, and value-based decision-making, participants grow into leaders who inspire teams, navigate change, and drive meaningful results. It's how we build strong teams today and develop the next generation of leaders for tomorrow. I love that. I mean, talk about a program that focuses on leadership. You guys should
brand this.
I'll share
that with our marketing team as well. Right?
You guys should
Job
brand
well done.
It. That's incredible. But you know, you guys have emphasized these strong organizational values. That's just one program within the professional development. Right. How important are those values in guiding some of the decisions, especially during growth? And how has the culture within Barry Isett and Associates been affected based on, you know, some of the common threads that you've seen at Lutron and then Westside Hammer and bringing and the military and bringing all of that into it?
That's a deep question. I think I'll start with, yes, that is certainly a focus of ours is leadership development. Mm-hmm. Learning and development in general is a big focus of ours. What does it have in common? At the end of the day, we're in a business of people. Mm-hmm. Right? Leadership is deeply personal. Mm-hmm. And we have had the fortune of working with a number of consultants through our time as ISIT has evolved over the years. And one of the things that stuck with us is that no company can outgrow its leadership. Like fundamentally, the amount of leaders that you have will limit your growth potential. Mm-hmm. So I'm a big believer in leadership at the smallest level possible, right? So it's not just about your title. It's not at all about your title. It's about the impact that you can have on another person's life. Mm-hmm. And so the culture at Barry Isett, we have four values that we're very proud of. They're very meaningful to us as well. But culture is different than values. Our four values are team, ownership, balance, and service. Okay? At the end of the day, those are all about people.
Right? Balance. So, wow.
Yes. Yes. We want to be intentional about balance. And it means... It means anything that you might be thinking in your mind right now, mm-hmm. what it might mean. So work-life balance, yes, that's a part of it, right? We want to work really hard, and then we want people to be balanced and have a life mm-hmm. outside of work as well. We want to have balance across all of our disciplines mm-hmm. in what we're doing. So we're very proud of the fact that we have thousands and thousands of clients across all of these services that we offer. Mm-hmm. We have no single client that's more than 5% of our revenue. Right. So from a business diversification standpoint mm-hmm. and a risk mitigation standpoint, this is a great spot to be in.
Absolutely. Right?
We have public and private. We want that to be balanced as well, because when the economy shifts one direction or the other, we believe that diversification kind of insulates some of the highs and the lows, so that the highs might not be as high and the lows might not be as low, but we're about a long-term, slow, steady, disciplined approach to the market. We're trying to build a company that will fundamentally last forever. Mm-hmm. So we're not trying to be everything to everybody overnight. We want to earn the right to proceed. We want to provide the best quality service that we can. As a matter of fact, in the middle of last year, do you know the concept of a BHAG? Mm. Big, hairy, audacious goal. It's like a Jim Collins, mm-hmm. good mm-hmm. to great. Okay. Our BHAG for many years was a 10-12 march and planning offices an hour apart from each other as we continued to grow. Like, so the 10-12 march was 10% growth, 12% profit every year. Disciplined approach to it. Just last year, we kind of shifted this. So our new BHAG is to be the best in class in every service we provide and in every region we provide it. And what I love about this is that it's fundamentally unachievable, right? It's so bold as a goal that it's fundamentally unachievable. And if you think about it, it's because as we continue to grow, we're going to continue to grow geographically, but also in our diversification of services. When we enter a new market, we're not going to be the best. So now we have to become the best in that market. And then when we become the best, it takes a lot to stay the best mm-hmm. when you're there. But then we're also going to be trying to grow into another market and provide our services to additional clients. So we will fundamentally never achieve being best in class in every service and in every region, because we will always continue to grow. But that is our new BHAG. That's where we're heading as a company. But I've been a little long-winded. Your question ultimately centers around people. And at the end of the day, that's what we're focused on at Barry Eisen Associates. Is we're focused on individuals and trying to help them grow, and specifically into leadership roles as well.
Shifting gears a little bit, since stepping into leadership, what key growth initiatives or strategic priorities have helped launch or accelerate? You talked a little bit about your BHAG, right? How do you achieve 10-12, right? Like, how do you get there? And how do you try, even though it may be unobtainable, how do you try to obtain that for each market that you continue to emerge in?
Yeah. So my tagline has become, over the course, since we launched this new BHAG about 8-9 months ago or so, my tagline has become, sometimes that becomes so grand of a thought of how do we get to be best in class in every service in every region? Like, break it down for me. And my tagline has become, do the next right thing, right? So no matter what your role is, no matter what today holds in store, make the next right decision, right? And so we are certainly focused on developing future leaders, right? Because as we continue to grow, we're going to need more and more leaders at every level of our company. And so we are very proud. In our succession plan ourselves, I started as chief operating officer about a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. In September of last year, Kevin Campbell, who was our president and CEO, he relinquished the presidency. So now I'm president and chief operating officer. Kevin is CEO. And in that switch, Kevin has taken a lot more time to focus on organizational structure mm-hmm. and strategic growth opportunities for us and the development of our people. So Kevin, in combination with Dana on our team, who is our learning and development specialist, created a leadership development program. And it's a 6-part program. We've put 40 people at a time through this program, everybody from current designated leaders as well as future leaders in the organization. So in the last 8 months, we've put 80 of our little bit over 300 associates through this formalized leadership development program. And so, you know, one of the things that we're going to continue to do is grow leaders. But the other thing, and your question was about like some of these strategic growth initiatives and whatnot that we're focused on, like we are focused on new geographies. Last year alone, we opened up 5 new office locations. This year we see another 2 office locations coming in. We're diversifying our services as well. So there's a, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes to make all that work.
Yeah. You've been deeply involved in community work throughout your career. Why has that always been important to you, and why should other business leaders engage beyond their companies? Because you do a great job internally, but externally, it's notable as well.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I think that being involved is so critically important, not just for business leaders, but for everybody. One of the earliest lessons I can remember learning in the Marine Corps was to leave a place better than you find it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Whether that's the dorm room style that you're moving into, and if it's a little dirty, clean it better than it was when you got there. To, you know, visit in a restaurant and clean up after yourself, and just leave a place a little bit better than you found it. And so I think getting involved in the community is our opportunity to do that. Right? Go a little philosophical on you, but we're only on this earth for a very short amount of time.
Uh-huh.
Right? We can impact countless people's lives by just stepping up to the plate, by getting involved in some way, shape, or form. In a very pragmatic sense, when I left the Marine Corps, I really felt a hole in my own kind of worth, or like what I think the military, if they do one thing well, they really drive home that you're part of something bigger than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you talk to veterans, you'll hear that sentiment will undoubtedly come out in a conversation with a veteran. And so this idea of being a part of something bigger than yourself, I was missing that when I left the Marine Corps. And I found that again by getting involved at the community level in a number of ways. At the start, it was all about coaching youth sports. I love coaching youth sports, truly love it. And then that led me to have other connections. And on the business side, there were some doors that were opened up, and I've just walked through that door. Take the risk,
mm-hmm.
take a chance, right? Go have that next conversation with somebody. And I love the expression that Kevin, our CEO, uses as well. He says, luck favors those who stay in motion,
mm-hmm.
right? And so one of the ways we can stay in motion is by getting involved at the community level.
Yeah, and it can certainly open doors, like you said. When you reflect on your career, military service, corporate leadership, entrepreneurship, and now presidency, what moment makes you most proud?
So I don't know that there's any one. I really don't. I like to think that in some way, whether it's with a youth athlete, an emerging leader, a seasoned veteran leader, I'd like to think that maybe in one conversation here or there, I've left my mark on them somehow, some way, right? So I believe that my own personal journey is unfolding exactly as it should be. I would not change a thing about my past, right? Every experience that I've had leading up to where I am today, I've been in that for a reason, right? And so if I have any abilities or advice or wisdom that I can pass on through my 30 plus years of kind of being outside of the college world, and youth, then I want to try to help as many people as I can by doing that. So having one-on-one conversations, I hope that I've impacted a number of lives in that regard. You know, we were talking before we started as well about that book, and
mm-hmm.
you know, the whole premise of it is that you could change the world, like one relationship at a time. And so I don't know that there's any one thing I'm proud of, but I'm certainly proud of the number of folks that I call friends, and the network that I have, and beyond anything, I'm most proud of my family, right? My wife and four children.
It's all about the impact. Andrew Lawler is the president of Barry Eisen and Associates, and a leader whose journey reminds us that discipline, adaptability, and service are not separate from success. They are the foundation of it. From military service to corporate leadership to community engagement, Andrew's path reflects what it means to lead with purpose and to build organizations that strengthen the region they serve. Andrew, thank you for your leadership, your service, and for sharing your story with us today. And to our listeners, thank you for spending this time with us on Trailblazers. If today's conversation inspired you, share it, talk about it, and continue building the kind of leadership our region needs. Until next time, keep leading boldly, keep serving faithfully, and keep blazing trails. Thanks again, Andrew.
Thank you, Melody.